And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 22nd of April, 2010. Today is Earth Day. It's also the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, held on this day in 1970, considered to be the birth of the modern environmental movement. The founder was Senator Gaylord Nelson of Wisconsin, looking for a way to force environmental issues onto the national agenda. Before 1970, stories about the environment were almost never reported. But in 1969, he'd gone to Santa Barbara, California, to see the site of an enormous ecological disaster. An oil pipe had ruptured just off the coast. 200,000 gallons of crude oil leaked out and spread over an 800-square-mile slick. Took 11 days to plug the hole. It poisoned seals and dolphins. Their corpses washed up onto the beaches, killed thousands of seabirds. Gaylord Nelson was angry that nobody in Washington seemed to be concerned about all of this, and he proposed a national teach-in to raise awareness of environmental issues and, as he said, to stem the tide of environmental disaster. These teach-ins were patterned after the teach-ins of the anti-war movement. At first, Gaylord Nelson called it National Environmental Teach-In Day, but they picked up the name Earth Day. It was sort of catchy. It rhymes with birthday, and that's what the press began to call it. This was back when there was no internet to spread the word, and it was quite a success. One historian has called Earth Day the most famous unknown event in modern American history. About 20 million Americans participated in the first one. They gathered at assemblies in high school. In Madison, Wisconsin, there was a 4:45 a.m. Earth service to greet the sunrise. There were tens of thousands in Fairmount Park in Philadelphia, 100,000 on Fifth Avenue in New York City. Earth Day, April 1970, helped lead to the creation of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, by the end of that year, as well as the passage of the Clean Air Act, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Act. Here's a poem for today by Lewis Jenkins entitled The Telephone. In the old days, telephones were made of rhinoceros tusk and were big and heavy enough to be used to fight off an intruder. The telephone had a special place in the front hallway, a shrine built into the wall, a niche previously occupied by the Blessed Virgin. And when the phone rang, it was serious business. Hello? One if by land and two if by sea. What? Unto you a child is born. What? What did he say? Something about the Chalmers barn. The voice was carried by a single strand of bare wire running from coast to coast, wrapped around a Coke bottle, stuck on a tree branch, dipping low over the swamp. It was the party line, all your neighbors in a row, out one ear and in another. We have a bad connection. I'm having trouble understanding you. Nowadays, telephones are made of recycled plastic bags and have multiplied to the point where they've become a major nuisance. The phone might ring at you from anywhere, the car, the bathroom, under the couch cushions. Everyone hates the telephone. No one uses the telephone anymore. So telephones, out of habit or boredom or loneliness perhaps, call one another. Please leave a message at the tone. I'm sorry, this is a courtesy call. We'll call back at a more convenient time. There is no message. A poem by Lewis Jenkins, The Telephone, from Before You Know It, Prose Poems, 1970 to 2005. Published by Will-o'-the-Wisp Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly editor's podcast online at poetryfoundation.org. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses stay connected to their customers with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. Over 300,000 small businesses and nonprofits use ConstantContact.com. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.